throws. It is caught. Touchdown.
Drops back to goal. It's picked up. Touchdown.
That gun snapped under pressure. Ball is free.
This is the Mean Gene Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Mean Gene.
Hello, football fans. Welcome to the Mean Gene Show here on ESPN 97.5. It is Sunday, week two of the National Football League, and I am joined here with my co-host, and that would be the one from the Coach Sports, Jake Meadows. Man, good to see you back, man.
What is up, baby? It feels good to be back in studio. I've missed you guys these last couple of weeks.
Hey, man, and when you mentioned guys, you must be talking about me and AJ, who is on the other side of the glass. Look, folks, if AJ sounds a little down and out, there's a reason for it, but we'll get to that later. What's up, AJ? We can't hear you.
Oh, my bad.
Don't mute yourself, man.
But see, I can understand if you don't want to be heard.
Yeah, right, look, that's probably a good thing.
It's not easy being a Cowboys fan.
It's okay, but hey, I mean, that means I'm able to get through tough times, though. So, I mean,
I know.
Hey, yeah.
I have a good draft pick.
Look here. He muted himself because he knew what was going
probably
on.
Probably necessary.
Today. All right, folks, we're going to be in for a good show today because, look, we're on early. I know, look, if you're driving around listening to us on 97.5, I thought these guys came on at 7. Yes, we normally would be on at 7 p.m. tonight, but because the Bears are in town, the Houston Texans are on the Sunday night football game tonight on NBC. Whoop, and whoop. We had to come in early because there's no way we're going to miss that game tonight.
No shot. This is the most exciting matchup of week two if you're a Houston fan. So this is perfect.
So next week, back to the 7-9. But look, we had to get on here today because, man, it's going to be a great game tonight. And look here, I'll tell you what, we are going to break down all the action from week two of the NFL. Look, don't blink. You know, this is week two. In a couple of weeks, it'll be 7. It'll be week 10. It'll be week 12. And the season is over. So every week is so critical. We're also going to break down the Thursday night football game, Bills and Dolphins. Man, I tell you, the Dolphins are in a crazy situation.
It's a pickle. Yeah. Yeah. It is a heated pickle for the Miami Dolphins right now.
Yeah, so we also have an update on Tua Valoa. Whether or not he is going to continue to play, and just a crazy, crazy injury. We already talked about the big game tonight, Caleb Williams and C.J. Stroud. So they're making it so much about Caleb Williams versus C.J. Stroud, even though it's not like they're competing against each
other. They never play each other. Right, yeah, right. Like, it's them versus the defense. But
exactly.
It's easy to market the stars, right?
Well,
Caleb Williams and Stroud. You have to, yeah. It sells tickets. If it makes money, it makes sense.
I haven't seen a lot of blue and orange in town. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't mean tonight's game at NRG won't be, flooded with Bears fans because they do travel. They travel well.
They travel. They're one of the best traveling fan bases. But I just think Houston is really standing behind the Texans this year. So it would not surprise me if Chicago was not able to pack the crowd with the Bears fans because we have way too many Houstonians ready for that H-Town rundown.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, there was, 72,000 people there for preseason games. Mm-hmm. So I just don't think the Texans fans are going to allow the Bears, like the Pittsburgh Steelers fans do. Steelers fans would take over.
Those terrible towns everywhere.
Or in Denver. We'll talk about the evening games here in a little bit. We'll get you some scores on that. But, yeah, the terrible towns, when they went down to Atlanta, I don't think you're going to see – you might see 15,000 Bears fans in there tonight. We'll find out tonight.
15,000 would be a good round number for them.
But, anyway, so that's going to be a great game tonight. And, of course, we have all your scores from the early games today, including some upsets, what have you. And of course, we have the games that are on right now. So why don't we just go ahead and just give you a quick update on what we have so far in these afternoon games here. So right now in Arizona at State Farm Stadium there, the Cardinals all over the Rams, 21-3. 5:47 left to go in the second quarter.
This has been a fun first half. It seems like Kyler heard the chirps. The coach heard the chirps. Marvin Harrison heard the chirps. Marvin Harrison with four catches for 130 and two tutters in that first half already. It feels like they're trying to get him involved, and it feels – I mean, it's working for the offense, right? This score is nuts.
Kyler Murray, 10 for 11, 191, three touchdowns already with a 158 quarterback rating. So I don't know what's going on with the Rams. This is always you know, it's 24-3. So that's an update there. But Mike Prater just kicked the field goal. So look here. This is the NFC West, which is all we used to call it the Wild Wild West.
Yeah.
So and it's sort of looking like that. So other scores, you have the Pittsburgh Steelers. They are up 7-0 over the Broncos, and that's 12:42. They're just kind of getting into the second quarter in that game. And the Cincinnati Bengals now, they are winning 9-3 over KC, and that game is also early in the second quarter.
Yeah, and that it's probably the most interesting game on right now. I mean, I love watching Arizona pummel the Rams for no reason. I love that Justin Fields is winning against Denver at the moment. But with all the questions surrounding the Bengals after week one where they fell to the Patriots, it's going to be interesting to see how they rebound this week. It looks like they've rebounded well. Joe Burrow had the passing touchdown there to I would butcher that guy's name if I tried to say it. I have no idea.
You know, we got to get the names right because that matters a whole lot.
Iasavas.
Say it.
There's no way that's right. Iasavas. Hey, Iasavas.
Yeah.
He's got the tutter.
The 4-yard touch from Burrow. So, look here. I think a lot of people are questioning Joe Burrow's wrist, which this is a critical game because this, you know, everything in the AFC goes through where? Kansas City. So, for the Bengals to get an early jump on KC, that would be incredible. Patrick Mahomes, 4-6, 21 right now. He has an interception in this game already.
Yeah, it's looking – again, this. I mean, this is always the game for the ages, right? You have the Bills Chiefs and you have the Bengals Chiefs. Those are your two big matchups for the Chiefs every year because they are the heavy hitters in the AFC naturally. So they always play each other well. But it does seem like this is going to shake out. It's going to be a gunfight in the very end of this game, it seems like. Just because, yeah, Pat's got an early pick. Neither offense is moving very fluidly so far here in the early part of the game.
I have a feeling it's going to pick up, but it's nice to see Burrow's able to throw the ball in the end zone.
It's nice to see that, A, he can throw touchdowns since he didn't in the first week. And it's nice to see, I mean, Mike Gesicki had a catch for 37 yards. That means that Joe Burrow's stretching the field to some amount.
You need to do everything against the Chiefs.
Bodes well for the bum wrist.
So, look, week two got underway Thursday night, and this was a shocker because on the Sports King show with myself and Dustin Pfeiffer, you know, we had to make these picks, and we both picked the Dolphins to win. That wasn't the case if you didn't know, if you didn't see the game Thursday night. The Miami Dolphins and the Bills, good AFC East showdown. Bills win 31-10, and that was only half of the story. But, man, James Cook, big night there, two touchdowns on the ground. Josh Allen, man, what a night for him, 13 of 19, 139, and he had a touchdown there. But he also spread the ball around to Shakir, Kincaid, and Johnson. But the big story, of course, was the Miami Dolphins and Tua Tagovailoa, who we have the call on that. So let's go ahead and listen to what went down Thursday night. Okay. We'll get that sound bite. Thanks, AJ. So when we have that, we'll play it. So look here, the big story there, Tua Tagovailoa, three interceptions in that game. And this was sort of just – Okay, let's go ahead and listen to that soundbite.
You're down by 21 points, 4th and 4. Pressure. Tua steps up. He's going to run for the first down and takes a shot at the 6-yard line. Hamlin hit him and Tua down. Picked up the first. Split
a sad way for Tua Tagovailoa to. You know, carried off the field, so to speak, and didn't return in that game. He was listed with a concussion, Jacob, and boy, have we been down this road before.
Yeah, he left in the third quarter with the concussion. This is This is what, his third professional concussion? It might be his fourth professional concussion.
I think it's fifth overall because he had one in Alabama.
Correct.
So I think four in the NFL there. So it's
you hate to see it.
You hate to see it.
You know, any other part of your body can be repaired to some extent, but the brain, it turns out, cannot be. So it sucks to see it because he's so young. He's got so much life ahead of him, so much football ahead of him. If he's so chewed. Yeah. It just, you hate to see it.
You do. And of course, a report coming from thescore.com says that he's scheduled to meet with neurologists.
Gotcha.
Can I say it? Are we struggling with certain words today? Neurologists.
So.
I need a neurologist. So he's going to meet with a neurologist early this week after suffering a concussion on that game. And of course, now he's also trying to get information on the severity of this latest head injury and the effect. In order to make a decision on his future.
And this will be a perfect thing to monitor because Tua's already come out and said that he doesn't want to retire, right? He's going to wait. Once medically cleared, he wants to return to the field. But it's going to be interesting to see how many people actually push him in that direction when there's only so much that can be done. And if he has, you know, one or two more concussions, we've seen what they can do to people longevity-wise, right? Like maybe the next 10 years he'll be fine, but you have to wonder what life will look like for him beyond the NFL, you know, when he turns 40, right? You have to wonder what the health effects will be at that point because it does seem like we've been down this road with the head injuries before and it has not turned out well for the players in the past.
No, in his case particularly. So, look, I mean, the guy, you can understand why he doesn't want to walk away from football because that's all he knows.
It's his life.
From Pop Warner to the days at Alabama, and now he's in the NFL and he, you know, I know he just signed this big, humongous $200 million+ contract. Now, look, if he does decide to walk away, you know, $94 million of that is pretty much guaranteed. But you can understand why it's so tough for him to make that decision. So we're going to wish him well, and we're going to wish the Dolphins well because now they have Skylar Thompson and they
T's and P's, man. Yeah.
Yeah. So look, it's going to be a long road. But look, we're just getting started here. First segment here of the. The Mean Gene Show here on ESPN 97.5, and we'll be right back with all of your scores from the early games. Stick around, Mean Gene Show 97.5.
You're listening to the Mean Gene Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
For the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Mean Gene.
All right, Mean Gene, Jacob Meadows, and AJ, our man behind the glass there. We are here on this Sunday, second week of the NFL season. Look, I know all of the city of Houston is getting excited about tonight's game, but, you know, we got a lot of transplants that live here. So we are obligated to kind of get into what took place in the early games this morning, or I like to say, or afternoon, wherever you're watching these games. On the West Coast, you know, it's 10 o'clock in the morning when these games kick off.
Which is miserable, might I add. It's
so
early.
I've been there for like 20-something years. It was... But you get used to watching games at 10 o'clock in the morning.
You have to. But, I mean, it's much nicer when they're at noon. Noon is a better time slot. It
doesn't do much for your church life if you go to church.
It doesn't, no.
Or, like, you know, you have to find a church football service is what I call it. You have to go early in the morning. All right, so, look, we're going to get into some of these games, what happened this morning. Let's go ahead and start with an upset here. Now, this would be the Raiders and... the Ravens. How about that? Raiders and Ravens, okay? So Raiders win this game 26-23 in Baltimore at MT&T Bank Stadium there. What the heck happened?
It's hard to peg that. You know, if you would have told me the Ravens would have been 0-2 to start this season, I'd have laughed in your face during the preseason. But Lamar can't play hero ball. They made him stop running as much. And it just feels like the Raiders, albeit their own problems, the Raiders were the more complete team today. Their passing game looked better. Their run game left a little bit to be desired. But when you have Devontae Adams, Brock Bowers, and Jacoby Myers out there making plays, I mean, the Raiders showed what the Raiders could do. Their defense showed up better than they did in week one. It was almost reminiscent to the Raiders' defense from last season that got AP this head coaching gig. And it seemed like the Raiders wanted it more, and the Ravens were not prepared for how the Raiders came out swinging.
I mean, look, at certain points in this game, I mean, look, if you would have told me that Gardner Minshew was going to outperform Lamar Jackson, I would have said, hey, you're crazy. And looking at these stats here, look, Minshew goes for 276 yards. He had a pick. And, I mean, they have almost similar numbers with the exception of Minshew just, you know, having more.
He threw more attempts, right, but not four more attempts and had 30 more yards.
But I think the game was basically decided by the defense here because Max Crosby is something to be reckoned with. And that's something you have to account for in a close game. The Raiders' defense should get you over the hump, and that's what they did here. Look, Zay Flowers, it looked like he was going to have a remarkable day, you know, and he did.
He did.
So did Mark Andrews, which, you know, I know fantasy football owners have been kind of, you know, wondering if it's going to be likely did not have
any sort of, yeah,
day. The day compared to that first game against the Chiefs.
One other thing worth noting, I mean, the defense definitely made this for the Raiders, but the fact that Justin Tucker missed another field goal and is now, he's what, 9 of 12 over the last 12? The precipitous fall off of Justin Tucker has continued into this game as well, and that it is worth noting because if he hits that, you go into overtime. So
something that you don't see in Lamar Jackson, you know, he ran the ball a little bit today. I'm still questioning the usage of Derrick Henry, who was 18 attempts for 94 yards and a touchdown. So, I mean, it just seems like they're struggling on how to use him. Justice Hill also ran the ball as well today.
Well, it's almost like, you know, you have the two defections to the Chargers, right? You lose J.K. Dobbins to the Chargers. You lose Gus Edwards to the Chargers. And those were two of their primo rotational backs the last couple of years. So it's like when you lose two of your big cogs and replace them with one, you have – it's not a depth problem, but you don't have that stable of running backs that Baltimore usually has four or five running backs that are of starting quality. And now you lose Gus Edwards, you lose J.K. Dobbins, you have Justice Hill still, which they are using very minimally, and then you have Derrick Henry offsetting Lamar Jackson's running. And it just feels like Baltimore may have dug themselves a hole with running back depth and are going to have to rely too heavily on King Henry, which, you know, 6 years ago, that's not a big deal, right? He's King Henry. Mm-hmm. And now you have John Harbaugh coming out saying that they don't want to use him the same way that he was used in Tennessee. They don't want him to have 30 carries.
Yeah, but you're going to have let him do what he do.
Yeah, let him work.
Now that you're 0-2 in the AFC.
You're going to have to do something.
And you're 0-2 in the AFC North there. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, look, if the Ravens are going to be there, man, they really need to turn things around. So it's going to be interesting to see how they make the adjustments moving into week 3. How about this one here? Like, last week, the Carolina Panthers made the inaugural What Had Happened Was segment, which we got a doozy for you in the second hour, you know, coming up here. But look, they stayed off the What Had Happened Was this week.
Barely.
And barely, anyway. But anyway, I don't know. It's going to be a long season for the Panthers. Me and Dustin Pfeiffer talked about this on the Sports King Show podcast. Chargers get the win, 26-3. And at one particular time, it looked like Justin Herbert was going to be taken out of that game. He went under the tent. He came back. But, man, J.K. Dobbins. So if you thought last week was a fluke, apparently it wasn't.
I've got some news for you.
Yeah. 17 carries, 131 yards, touchdown. He ran one. He busted one for 43 freaking yards there as the Chargers now are 2-0 under
Jim Harbaugh.
Jim Harbaugh.
The magic of Jim Harbaugh has returned. Brought a little bit of that 49er magic with him. Like, man, what a crazy. And the fact that they are run first the way they are. Like, this is old school smash mouth football. They had over, what, almost 300 yards total of rushing offense. The passing game, it's unfair to call it negligible because Justin Herbert threw for 130 yards and two touchdowns, but that's pretty negligible for Justin Herbert. Like, this is a run-first offense. And J.K. Dobbins, man. J.K. Dobbins. I know Gus Edwards.
Gus Edwards had 59 yards.
So on 18 carries, they're splitting evenly. Yeah. But man, it looks like Baltimore may have made a mistake not retaining J.K. Dobbins.
How about the TCU product?
Quentin Johnston, baby.
Finally showed up today. He was targeted 6 times, 5 receptions, 51 yards, 2 touchdowns there. So, man, Jim Harbaugh has returned to he's in midseason form already. It seems like he just never stepped away from the NFL. The Chargers are 2-0, and I mean, I think that AFC West is going to be interesting. I didn't see this 2-0 start coming, even though the Panthers are probably going to be the
bottom of the cellar.
The bottom of the cellar. I mean, look, the way they're looking now, I don't know if they're going to win a game this year. Bryce Young, 18 to 26, 84 yards there. He had a pick there. I mean, his receivers said, look, I don't know if anyone in fantasy football that has Trimble, Thielen, Deontay Johnson on their fantasy roster. Sanders, I mean, this is a horrible team.
How could you? I mean, I've seen one or two people roster Chuba Hubbard, but that's it. And he was either benched or cut after week one anyways. So, yeah, this Carolina team is going to be a rough go for them. There's nothing to really shine a light on. You can look at the development of Bryce Young and say that, you know, maybe Carolina scored more points than they did on average in games last year. They managed to get 3 points against this Chargers defense. And all things considered, Bryce Young has looked terrible. The wide receiving core looks like it doesn't want to be there. The running game doesn't look motivated.
They bring in a new coach, and we talked about this, Jacob Howell. You know, the worst thing you can do to a young quarterback is just have so much turnover on the coaching staff. So Bryce Young is looking at his, third coordinator. And look like he's going to probably see another one. I don't know who else they, have. I mean, you don't went out and drafted this guy. This was your number one pick. So to bench him now would just be a slap in the face.
Ridiculous.
And they have an owner, David Tepper, who is doesn't have a lot of patience. But here, at 0-2, it's not going to look good.
No.
I don't even know. They're not going to – I don't think they're going to win a game. I really don't think they're going to win a game this year.
It doesn't look so. And, this is going to be a reflection of David Tepper. I'm glad you brought him up, because if you look at the situation that transpired in Cleveland, right, the Baker Mayfield situation in Cleveland, where he has four different coordinators in his first 4 years in the land, and then he leaves the land for Tampa Bay – and he improves with a little consistency, an organization that really believes in him. He looks good. They replace him with Deshaun Watson. That's a story for another day, right? But David Tepper needs to take a page out of this book, because if you give up on Bryce Young, right, if you bench him, if you don't give him adequate tools to do his job and you don't build the team around him, you very likely could see another Baker Mayfield situation where maybe Bryce Young goes somewhere else after the first 4 years in Carolina.
I mean, the quarterbacks that they had, they had Sam Darnold, they had Baker Mayfield, so now they got to be scratching their heads to say, man, both of these guys, look, Sam Darnold is doing good. Baker Mayfield is doing good.
Yeah, what are
they're
we doing wrong?
On the teams that they are playing for now. And Bryce Young, I mean, it's just going to be a long season. I take it back. I'm going to step back and say, they're probably going to win one game. And 1-16 is a disaster, especially when you see it coming.
Yeah. There's no better way to put it. Yeah, when you can see it coming.
Yeah.
How do you stay motivated for an entire season of getting run through by other grown men when you know that there is the light at the end of the tunnel's never going to come?
It's just a horrible situation. But anyway, so hey, we got an update on the Chiefs and the Bengals. Seems like McPherson makes a 33-yard field goal. So this is going back and forth here. And that is, the Bengals are now leading this game 13-10 with about 4 minutes left to go before halftime.
Yeah, I'm glad they're keeping it close. Rashid Rice is who scored the touchdown for the Chiefs. It's looking like he's going to have a great season. He has looked pretty crisp since the preseason. And we're coming up on halftime. I don't know. I like the Chiefs in this game, but the Bengals are keeping this competitive. The Bengals look better today than I expected them to look. And I love that for Cincinnati.
It's not really the shootout. Patrick Mahomes' numbers are getting better. He's 7-for-9 of 71. And of course, he has that touchdown pass now. And Joe Burrow's looking really good, 10 of 17. 120 yards. So I got to think second half, it might just blow it open.
Going to pick up a little bit. Yeah.
I think so. So we are going to have more scores and analysis and updates. And we'll look at some of the fantasy football impacts here through week two of the National Football League. Look, if you had Alvin Kamara on your fantasy football team today, you should be winning your league
happily
today. This guy never gets young. Just when you're ready to write him off, it's impossible. But, hey, stick around. More NFL scores and highlights. You're listening to The Mean Gene Show with Jacob Meadows right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Mean Gene Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Mean Gene.
Inside the 5, 3, to the 2, to the 1, touchdown Tampa Bay, Baker Mayfield, back-to-back runs, and the Bucs retake the lead.
Wow. Okay, so I don't know if you call it an upset after the Detroit Lions on Sunday night. You know, they get a win over the Rams. There's nothing like having an alarm clock that goes off.
Rookie move.
I would be taking a nap if it wasn't on a Sunday. So we have Baker Mayfield getting it done today. He rushed 5 attempts for 34 yards, even had a touchdown there. But Baker Mayfield, man, 12 of 19, 185, 90.9 quarterback rating. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers defeat the Detroit Lions in Motown, 20-16, Jacob.
Baker Mayfield's an iron man. That dude, he will slug his way through any game and come out on the back end. Whether he wins or not, Baker will fight until that final second. And that's what they did against the Lions. I did not expect the Buccaneers to win this game. I did not expect Baker Mayfield to outplay Jared Goff, which, if you look at the numbers, I mean, Goff had a decent day. Threw two picks.
It's a rematch of a playoff game.
It sure is. And yeah. Baker came in and made it known that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are here to stay this season, that they're going to give the Lions a run for their money at the end of this year in a way that they did not last year.
Jared Goff did not look good today, even though, man, he put the ball up in the air 55 times. For 300 yards, but he had no touchdown passes. And when you look at the weapons on the Detroit Lions team, and you're talking about Amon-Ra St. Brown, Williams, you get Gibbs will catch it from the backfield, so will Montgomery. But of all of that passing there, no touchdown passes for Jared Goff. And, man, this doesn't look good, because I said earlier on before in the preseason there that there's always a team that goes from
first to worst.
And I just have this uncomfortable feeling that the Detroit Lions are taking a major step backwards this year. This was a huge loss, especially against an NFC non-divisional opponent.
So I hate to see it for Dan Campbell, right? Motor City Dan Campbell, MCDC. I hate to see it for him. But, yeah, I mean, if you really break down the passing stats for the Lions, right, like Jared Goff put the ball in the air 55 times. That's one thing. People do that. Tom Brady had multiple games where he had to pass that many times. What you don't like seeing is if you look at your receiving stats for Detroit, right? Amon St. Brown got targeted 19 times, had 11 receptions. Jameson Williams targeted 11 times, 5 receptions. So your two leading receivers are almost catching at a 50% clip, and Jared Goff was overthrowing a lot of those throws, and that's not what you want to see in week two, especially not from Jared Goff, who had a shaky history with the Rams, right? Wasn't always that dart-throwing quarterback, and he had some down games last season with Detroit. So you have to wonder if it is cause for concern for Detroit that Jared Goff is not hitting these throws, especially against a Tampa Bay defense where coming into this season – the secondary for Tampa Bay was supposed to be less good than they were last year. And they outplayed the Detroit Lions.
You have to explain to me, if you look at the stats of this game, the Lions' total net yards in this game was 463 to the Buccaneers' 216. And when you look at the first downs, they had 26 first downs. So how the hell do they lose this game?
This one was Jared Goff's fault. This one falls on Jared Goff's shoulders, and it's a team game, right? The defense played well, held Tampa to 20 points. That's not bad. And then even the offensive, the skill players, they all produced. Aiden Hutchinson had a record day for his career so far.
Yeah, he did.
Of these players, all the pieces played well. Jared Goff was the outlier, and I don't know. Like, even their run game looked really good. David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs both had adequate days, and
because they kept the ball, they controlled the game. They just those two picks did not help.
No, not at all.
Throw it 55 times. That's bound to happen.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, this was a sad outcome. If you're a Lions fan, this was a sad outcome. If you're a Bucks fan, you're 2-0 and you're looking great in a
2-0 in the NFC South
in a tough division.
I didn't predict that. Look, we knew that the Panthers were going to stink it up, but look, and the Falcons is the team that I picked to win the NFC South, and we don't know what's going to happen with them. We got to wait till tomorrow night.
They're 0-1 right now. The best team in the league's in this division.
The New Orleans Saints there. Man. We're talking about what they did to the Dallas Cowboys in Arlington today. AJ, you might want to go to lunch or something when we get to that part. But, no, I mean, it's just – but the NFC South is really surprising us. And but no one – I mean, we just took our eyes off the Tampa Bay Buccaneers who won the division. Mm-hmm. So, shame on us for not having more respect for Tampa.
Shame on us for not thinking that they were going to run it back when they were the division leaders. And they've looked good through two games so far. So, yeah. That was a knock on us. That was a bad move.
Knock on us. And look, Mayfield has the weapons. You know, you can't say he's not on a team with bad weapons because he's got Chris Godwin. You don't know last week it was Mike Evans who had the big game. Today it was
Chris Godwin.
Chris Godwin, 7 receptions. He was targeted 8 times, 117 yards, a touchdown, including that 41 yarder there that Mayfield hit him with. So. Hey, big win there for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are 2-0. Go figure now. All right, if you're in the AFC South, Texans fans will always like to know. They made good work of the Indianapolis Colts, you know, in the season opener. They beat them, although it was only 2 points, but it was a win.
It was a close game, but it was a win.
Against a division opponent. And now the Green Bay Packers, I tell you what, this is a shocker. The Green Bay Packers without Jordan Love, who we all saw get injured in that Brazil game versus the Eagles, mm-hmm. It was Malik Willis. 12 of 14, 122 yards, one touchdown, and it was the Packers winning over the Indianapolis Colts. The Colts are 0-2, Jacob.
This was a crazy game. First off, Malik Willis comes from Tennessee, right? Never has a good start under his belt. It's like this guy, he was great in college, came out, you know, never quite, maybe he was a developmental, like just never really got it. Managed this game better than you ever could have asked Malik Willis to manage this game. I mean, albeit Josh Jacobs. Mm-hmm. He had 1,000 carries, right? Josh Jacobs ended up with 32 attempts for 151 yards this game. So he was who controlled
the game. And no touchdown, which I'm shocked.
Which was nuts. Yeah. But you have Malik Willis coming in against the Indianapolis Colts, and they took the dub. This one blew me away.
This was at Lambeau Field, but look, no one had the Packers winning this game. I mean, we saw what, like you just gave the story about Malik Willis.
Yeah. You know,
drafted, third pick there a couple of years
Give
ago.
Give or take, yeah.
And the Titans didn't want anything to do with him. They just got rid of him right at the end of the preseason there. And look, who knew that Jordan Love, they wanted him to play. Mm-hmm. He probably could have played, but I think they took the precautionary measures to make sure. So now, look.
Why risk
it? You got two good quarterbacks in Green Bay.
No kid. Now, all of a sudden, you have good quarterback depth in Green Bay. Not mm-hmm. only do you have the starter in Love, you have a primo backup that can continue to learn the system and fill in no problem if something were to happen to Love again in the future.
We're seeing a repeat of 2023. It's like the year the backup quarterback.
Right.
People are taking advantage of the opportunity. Look, Anthony Richardson, I tell you what, you know, last year we saw a couple of games where he flourished. This year, not so. I mean, I don't know. Give it up to the Green Bay defense, but he had a horrible day. 17-34, 204 yards, 3 picks, and a 41.8 quarterback rating. A lot of people have Anthony Richardson in their fantasy football.
No kidding. You know, again, props to the Green Bay defense because Anthony Richardson looked really good against Houston. I mean, he had a couple of miscues, but he looked really good against Houston, then comes out against Green Bay and just falls absolutely flat. He looked like a rookie, kind of like how people expected him to look against Houston in week one, seeing as how he missed most of his rookie year. But he looked like a rookie today against Green Bay, and the Colts fell flat because of it. It is just – that is nuts. After his performance in week one, I never would have guessed that Green Bay's defense would do this to the Colts offense.
So, to all fantasy football fans who are wondering what the hell is going on with Michael Pittman, well, we're wondering too.
Like, yeah.
What is going on? This guy was drafted in probably, what, 85%?
Probably higher, yeah, of all leagues.
Football leagues, and he has yet to have a showing. This year, and it seems like
Alec Pierce has really taken over as that wide receiver one.
And Jonathan Taylor also a horrible game today. I mean, not so much.
Decent on the ground, just no scores.
But no scores, though. And even Trey Sermon got two attempts there. But look, I don't know. Looking at the AFC South standings right now, we talked about this on the way to the station here. I tell you, Texans, Texans fans got to be happy about what's going on in the AFC South. Jacksonville loses today.
Mm-hmm.
We get to that. The Titans
lose today.
And
the Colts lose today.
And it's all about what happens tonight at NRG, Jacob, where the Texans could just take control of this division and make a stance in the AFC.
You're not kidding. Colts, Titans, and Jags all lost in week one as well. So it's going to be, we'll have a two-game lead on the division, which is a crazy opening to the season for the Houston Texans. So this is good. It's good stuff if you're a Houston fan.
Yeah, now the afternoon games are, believe it or not, the Rams and the Cardinals are already in the third quarter. So that is a fast-moving game. Score hasn't changed at all. The Arizona Cardinals are still up 24-3. Over the Rams. The Pittsburgh Denver score hasn't changed. They're about to go into halftime with about 10 seconds left there. It is 7-0 Pittsburgh. And with about a minute 50 left to go before the half, it is the Cincinnati Bengals holding steady over the Kansas City Chiefs. So I know this is one that the Bengals fans want, especially after losing to the Patriots, mm-hmm. this hot Patriots team also.
Yeah, buddy, I can't wait for that one.
But they're making it seem like that game against the Bengals was no fluke. But this is one that you know the Bengals and Joe Burrow, they want to come out of KC with a win today.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to if they actually want to be competitive at the back end of the season, right? Like you can drop a game to the Patriots in the first six games of the year. It's not a big deal. It does, in the grand scheme of things, it could help or it could hurt your seeding, but it's not going to be detrimental. But if you lose the head-to-head with the Kansas City Chiefs, if you are the Cincinnati Bengals, that could have long-term implications for what happens in the playoffs later this year should both teams make
because
it.
Because these
so.
Have been like the cream of the crop teams there. I mean, Buffalo's making a case for it this year as well, but everyone knows that it's been Cincinnati and KC that are the cream of the crop in the AFC. All right, so when we come back, we will talk about what happened in Jacksonville today with the Browns and the Jaguars, as well as the 49ers and the Vikings. So stick around, folks. You're listening to the Mean Gene Show right here on ESPN
97.5. This is the Mean Gene Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Mean Gene.
All right, this is the AJ Show, but I can tell you this, AJ and Jacob just make it so much better. And I tell you what, guys, I don't know what I'm doing out here. I mean, hey, this we are in Sunday football season here. AJ, how'd you do on your fantasy football today?
Right now, my ESPN one, since I have Marvin Harrison Jr., that one's looking really good. I think I have like almost 130 points right now. But my other one, thanks to the Cowboys defense, I put up 115, but I'm going to end up losing because of how bad they play. I think they only gave me like a point. So.
Yeah, I think I did see that. You doing pretty good on fantasy football today?
I'm not doing too bad. You know, Brandon Aubrey is single-handedly keeping me in some of these weeks. It's a rough
it's
week,
nice
too.
It's nice to have a kickers last week where
he put up 21
double-digit numbers. Yeah.
Boswell. I'm looking good in two of my three leagues. That third league's looking like a loss already 2 weeks into the season. Two out of the three are solid.
I lost in one of my leagues on Thursday night alone. Okay. I went up against A-Chan and James Cook and Tyreek Hill, who didn't have a bad he didn't have a good game, but you know what happened.
Didn't have a bad game, yeah.
Once Skylar Thompson got in there, there was no – they took Waddle and Hill out the damn game, so mm-hmm. I knew I was done. But, yeah, I was already down like 64 to 10. already on Thursday night.
It's hard when you match up against two of the biggest scorers. Yeah.
And then the same guy had J.K. Dobbins today. So I think I'm just getting beat silly. I think two other leagues I'm looking okay. But, hey, we got an update on the afternoon games. Just that quick, man. We right before the break, we were just letting you know how things went. It looked like the Arizona Cardinals now, thanks to James Conner, are running it in the end zone there. The Cardinals now lead 31-3. Chris Boswell kicks a field goal right before the end of the half to give the Pittsburgh Steelers a 10-0 lead over Denver. And it looked like McPherson also kicked a field goal to give extend the lead for Cincinnati. They now lead 16-10 over the Chiefs with about a minute left to go before the half.
Yep, these are shaking up. This afternoon slate's pretty good, all things considered. I mean, I know Arizona's a blowout, but it is the Cardinals blowing out the Rams. So, I mean, that's a big shift from what we've seen previously. So it's nice to have that. Pittsburgh, you have Justin Fields fighting it out right now, up 10-0. That looks really good. And then even the Cincinnati and KC game, that's the perfect game for the mid-tier because it is a good game. So these mid-level games, these are nice.
One good thing to see for the Steelers fans is that, you know, last week it was all Chris Boswell.
Mm-hmm.
The offense sputtered. Justin Fields basically managed to keep, you know, the game, keep from losing the game.
Yep.
But this time the Steelers get on the board early with a touchdown and Boswell with the field goal there. So, you know, we'll see how things kind of pan out there. The shocker, of course, still, you know, the Rams could make the what had happened
there, yeah,
when this game is over.
Jury's not out yet on them.
I think we'll be off there. So, I could always hold them over to next week. You know, if it gets to just be ugly right now, the Rams are struggling. So I got to think that
McVay
is going to have a nice halftime. Well, actually, it's not halftime, right? No, this is it. This is already the third quarter.
It's already the second half, yeah.
I mean, it looks like a halftime score there, but no. And as soon as we said his name, they show him up on our screens. And so he looks concerned.
He does, as he should. You know, just a side note to your Pittsburgh Steelers, it is nice to see Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren both getting work done on the ground. Their averages look good today. I think they're finding their offensive identity.
They're going to play their style of ball, which is not always pretty. If you're a Steelers fan, you're sort of used to that. Okay, so if you're AFC South, we talked about how the Texans could really set themselves up pretty with a win tonight over the Bears, but thanks to the Jaguars today. I don't know what's going on in Duval, but they're not winning. The Jaguars find themselves down two games. They are 0-2, and all eyes were on the Cleveland Browns because they saw what Deshaun Watson didn't do last week, Jacob.
Yeah.
But this week, I think you know what happened there.
Even I was a little impressed. I mean, Watson did not have a great showing, right? He didn't come out, wasn't lighting up the scoreboard. Cleveland only had 18 points. What he did was he cut back on the interceptions, cut back on the sacks. He looked more comfortable under center. Deshaun Watson was a complete 360 from what he was last week. And, I mean, it ended up eking the Cleveland Browns out over the Jacksonville Jaguars this week. Again, I can't emphasize enough, this was not an exceptional game from Watson. But he did score a touchdown on the ground, ran one in. He ended up having 5 carries for 20 yards in that tutter, which is not terrible. And then he went 22-34 for 186 through the air. Again, no interceptions. The Cowboys piled it on in week one because Watson kept giving the ball away. And this week they didn't do that. And they were able to pull out the win. But kind of what you said, you've got to be a little concerned about Jacksonville 2 weeks into this season. You've got all of these just weird – a rookie wide receiver in Brian Thomas has taken over the wide receiver one despite your $100 million man in Christian Kirk.
A negative.
Yeah, negative yards in this game. You go out and you grab Gabe Davis from the Buffalo Bills. He has been a non-issue 2 weeks in a row. And then you just have their tight end, Evan Engram, not doing a whole lot.
I mean, that was like the craziest thing to wake up this morning to find out that Evan Engram, who is another go-to guy, Evan Engram and Christian Kirk over the last two seasons have been the Jacksonville offense.
And I don't get – you have to wonder if by the end of the season if Gus Bradley is going to be on the hot seat. You have to wonder if maybe Jacksonville starts looking – maybe they put him on the hot – they won't fire him after this year. It would take some catastrophic losses for
you
that to happen.
Doug Peterson?
Yes, not Gus Bradley. Man, I'm living a couple years in the past. Yeah.
Where the hell did you dig that name
up? Yeah, no, Doug Peterson, you have to wonder.
But Doug Peterson is a Super Bowl winning coach. Played the quarterback position, no better. Look, I mean.
Philadelphia fired him after that Super Bowl.
But yeah, that's all you can look back on. But look, we saw Urban Meyer leadership there. I mean, look, Jacksonville is a good team, but man, you lose it at home to the Browns. I can tell you the difference in this game was Myles Garrett.
Yeah.
Because Myles Garrett was all over Trevor Lawrence. And this was just, this was a horrible game for Trevor Lawrence. Look, 220 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions, but man, they couldn't move the ball. And you also, we talked about this during the break. How does the Browns win this game going 2 of 14 on third down?
Makes no sense. Jacksonville beat themselves. Very obvious. They didn't have a run game. Travis Etienne didn't get going. Tank Bigsby was a non-factor in this game. And then you have D'Ernest Johnson, who had 5 carries for 26 yards. But it's negligible. They couldn't get any sort of consistency in their run game. They keyed in on Trevor Lawrence in the passing game. And Cleveland was able to dictate this game from start to finish.
What makes the NFL so fun and interesting is that when you see a team like the 49ers get it done on Monday night versus the New York Jets. And this was without Christian McCaffrey. Mm-hmm. They have to be thankful to find a, you know, rising star running back.
Jordan Mason.
So all things are looking great for the 49ers. I mean, a lot of people have them back in the NFC Championship game. And then I think this felt like the revenge, Sunday for some reason. So they have a couple of quarterbacks there that didn't work out. Sam Darnold was one of those quarterbacks that did not work out for the 49ers. So today, week two, the 49ers traveled to Minneapolis to take on Sam Darnold and the Minnesota Vikings. Well, guess what happened, people? The Vikings win 23-17 over the 49ers, and the Vikings are 2-0. Hello.
All of a sudden, the Vikings
in the NFC North.
Man. Oh, man, that must be nice.
So, I mean, this is crazy, right? Sam Darnold today looked like a stud. I mean, he had the one interception. I think without that, he probably would have had a higher quarterback rating. 109.1 ain't bad, but how about the long pass
to Justin Jettison?
What was that, AJ? Was that 97 yards? Yeah, let's just hear that, what happened there.
The pass, Bosa picked up, deep shot, Jefferson, yes, caught at the 50, heads left to the 40, cuts back to the 25, heads to the right, he's trying to outrun the Niners, to the 5, touchdown!
When I saw that, I said, who threw that ball? Because there was no way.
It was Sam Darnold. Man.
USC quarterback Sam Darnold, who is on his fourth team, I believe now. Is it fourth or five teams? But anyway, huge win for the Vikings, who all of a sudden, look, I know it's only 2 weeks, but the Vikings are 2-0.
They look polished.
I didn't have the Vikings winning this division.
No, not even close. And they're, they reach out, they end up with Aaron Jones from the Packers in the offseason. That was their big acquisition. He didn't even have to do anything this game. Sam Darnold made friends with all those ghosts he was seeing when he was throwing the ball. Now they're helping him throw to the right people. And it's great. Sam Darnold's looking good.
Look at this division. So, look, let's just say if the Bears win tonight, if the Bears win. And so you would have the Vikings and the Bears atop the division, although last year it was the Packers and the Lions who made the playoffs. So it's just crazy. And when we talk about first to worst, I mean, we see it in front of our eyes. You get rid of Kirk Cousins, right?
Yep.
And you bring in Sam Darnold, man. This is all about taking advantage of opportunities because Darnold has had his chances. I remember interviewing him when he got drafted, when that draft was down there in Dallas. And typically, I'm a USC guy, but USC quarterbacks don't usually fare well, except for, maybe Carson Palmer was maybe one of the last great ones that played well. But, man, Sam Darnold looked great today.
He was dishing it. I love it for Minnesota, for Vikings Nation. Skull, right? Like, that's great for them. you want to see it for Sam Darnold. Like, you never want somebody to do poorly. And having Sam Darnold come in, 6 years into his career, however long he's been in the league, and finally look like he's putting things together, Minnesota could be a threat down the stretch.
I mean, this is crazy. The time of possession there, 49ers just held the ball the whole time there. I mean, this was an incredible win for the Vikings, but it was a crushing defeat for Brock Purdy, who was 28 of 36, 319 yards.
Touchdown.
Just couldn't get it done today. Mason, he gets it done on the ground, 20 attempts, 100 yards. Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know. You got to think, it just feels like maybe not having him there could have impacted these guys to some degree.
It felt like in this game, right? In the first game, they didn't miss CMC much. Nobody knew what Jordan Mason could do. So he came out and he dished. This week, it looks like they missed CMC in the passing game a lot. Yeah. Jordan Mason did great on the ground. He is not the same dual threat that CMC is. It's not fair to him to say that he's not a dual threat. He caught passes week one. He looked good doing it. Nobody does it as well as CMC does. Nobody's done it as well as CMC does since CMC entered the league with Carolina. And it does seem like that, like you said, that may have been the big factor for San Francisco here, because they didn't have that running back to throw to out of the backfield that could make the same level of impact.
All right. Well, impact, good win for the Vikings. We are going to wrap up hour number one and stick around hour number two. More updates from the afternoon games. It's Jacob Meadows, AJ Mean Gene. You listen to the Mean Gene Show on ESPN 97.5.